How do you do? It's been said that riches don't lead to happiness, which is true. But still, for many, having enough wealth to walk the golden path of happiness becomes a lifelong but futile pursuit. We're about to meet a man who pursued that dream, a man who accumulated success, wealth, and power. Yet even with all this, he was still far removed from his desire of walking on paths of gold, until his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Graziano, my boy. Great club you got here.
Thanks, Mr. Mancuso. I work hard and it's paying off.
Yeah, obviously. That's why I dropped in. I'm with the major family here in Brooklyn. We've been watching you, and the boss likes what he sees. You're just the kind of kid we're looking for.
How's that?
First, you're Siciliano. Maybe not full-blooded, but close enough. And you got a good head, starting at the stock exchange, or moving up to clerk at that specialist firm, and then junior partner.
Senior partner soon.
Yeah, quite the life.
It's an adventure, that's for sure.
And now this joint. Why a nightclub?
Investment. The future, you know?
Oh, I do know. A man with vision. And you kept your nose clean through it all.
No reason to involve the cops.
As I say, just the one we're looking for. How do you like to be associated with our family?
Isn't your family known as Murder Incorporated?
No. That's an unfortunate name that the newspapers are hung on the boys who they enforce our code of conduct. You wouldn't have to concern yourself with them at all.
Then what are you looking for?
Any number of things. Private room for meetings, legit business to, as they say, launder the money. Sometimes a place to meet some punk who ignores our code. And your Wall Street connections can give us some useful information. Of course, this would be good for us and a good money for you. Take my advice. Think on it.
This is Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in history, presenting true stories of real people produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. The homeless live in places you would never consider home, in abandoned cars, under highway bridges, among the bushes in a park, or behind a dumpster. But mostly, they live in despair. Yet those making their way to Pacific Garden Mission find a ray of hope. Nourishing meals, clean clothing, hot showers, and a safe bunk for the night. All provided without cost, thanks to the financial gifts of friends like you. And regardless of their circumstances, once their immediate physical needs are met, pastors and counselors tell them about the certain hope of a new life in Jesus Christ. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3484 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. The wealthy and powerful man in our story was a prominent Wall Street broker that some called a trading genius. But even that wasn't enough. He wanted more. You'll learn to see if he found it as we bring you the true story of Robert Graziano right now on Unshackled.
All right, use the monkeys, out you go.
How come you never go to church?
Sunday, Robert. Daddy's got things to do.
Then why do we gotta go?
Teaches 8-year-old boys and their brothers to be good.
Can we walk home?
That suits me.
Can we go by the park to get something from the hot dog man?
Dogs for the three of you after church.
Yippee!
Here's 50 cents each. Have fun.
Thanks. Bye, Daddy.
When people hear I was born in Brooklyn back in 1947, they often say, wow, growing up in Brooklyn must have been scary. Nah, we loved it. The freedom to wander, good food, great friends, Coney Island, lots of excitement. You couldn't beat it. But not all the excitement was safe.
You're asking for it, you inbreed.
Come on, big man, let's see what you got. Had enough yet?
You're dead now.
Also, you need a weapon to fight? I got a weapon, too. Yep, fighting was high on my list of survival techniques. As a teenager, I took up boxing, but then discovered martial arts. That became my answer for self-defense. I became a black belt karate instructor and poured my life into training, instructing, and competing. But even with the martial arts emphasis on self-control, I never turned from a fight when it came to defending myself and others. Then, on the 4th of July after high school graduation, I met Janet.
Ooh. Hi there. Them's nice fireworks.
They're okay.
You're Robert, right?
Yeah. Who are you?
Janet. This is my uncle's place. His party.
No kidding. We've known him forever. Nice to meet you.
Where do you live?
A couple blocks north. Just graduated out of high school.
No way. I'm just a few blocks the other way. Go to the same school. Small world. I'm a senior this fall.
Surprised I ain't seen you before. I'd remember a cute chick like you.
Thanks. Graduated, huh? What's next?
Already got a job. Page on the American Stock Exchange.
That sounds exciting.
Really, it is. I love it already. Good future.
You're gonna be a trader?
Got lots to learn, but yeah, could be. Oh, that's the best part of fireworks. Well, Janet, swell meeting you. Hope to see you again.
Same here.
We started dating that September and married 3 years later. I excelled on Wall Street, and before long, Janet and I bought our first home. What more could I ask? Beautiful wife, rapidly advancing career, our own place, good money. Life was great, and I thought I was happy. But there was an underlying sense of discontentment. One day, my best friend at work finagled a dinner invitation from me.
Kenny's coming here for dinner, and he wants to do what?
Yeah. Says he wants to talk to us.
About what?
Says he just became a Christian. Wants to tell us about it.
Kenny's gonna tell me about religion. I spent 8 years in a parochial grammar school.
Personally, I think he's off the deep end. But he says he's concerned about us. He's coming, so be nice.
Oh, brother.
So, when did this transformation happen?
Just a few weeks ago. I got a lot to learn about God and Jesus, but when I realized that acting like a Christian is not the same thing as being a Christian, I knew I was missing something.
What do you mean acting like a Christian isn't the same as being one?
Good point.
Well, I was reading a Bible, and it said something like, all who received him, he gave the power to become sons of God to those that believed in his name. So it's not how we act that makes us a Christian. We need to receive Jesus as God's only way to forgive our sins. You know, Jesus once said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the something I was missing. We need this second birth, and it comes through receiving Jesus.
Receiving Jesus? That's like receiving communion or baptism, right?
No. Those things don't make us a Christian. I'm talking about directly asking God to forgive our sins through Jesus' blood. It's a decision we make. And then believe in him as Savior. I believed in the Lord Jesus, and I was saved. I want that for you guys, too.
That night, as I tried to sleep, I kept thinking that Kenny had something I didn't. I played it over and over in my mind, and then I found myself down on my knees asking God to forgive my sins. When I made that important decision, I couldn't wait to tell Robert the next morning.
You did what?
I received Jesus as my Savior last night. I thought you'd be happy.
Oh, brother. First my best friend, then my wife. Both gone bonkers.
I started praying for Robert, and God started making changes in my life. One immediate change for me was my addiction, my heavy smoking. As an athlete, Robert never smoked and was constantly trying to get me to quit. Once I became a Christian and knew the Spirit of God lived in me, I realized that my smoking was an idol to me that I couldn't control. So, by God's strength, I never picked up another cigarette. I kept repeating Philippians 4:13 to myself, emphasizing a different word every time. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. From time to time, I'd send a question to Kenny through Robert.
You sure they're not your questions?
Don't get me involved. I ain't interested. Just the messenger. Anyway, the other day she asked you about the Bible being the inspired word of God. Now she wants to know if there are other books besides the Bible that claim divine inspiration.
As a matter of fact, there are. Those books are even linked to religions.
Then what makes the Bible any different from them?
Well, one outstanding difference is that they have no predictive prophecy like the Bible does. Unlike the prophecies found in other religious books, biblical prophecies are extremely detailed. There are over 300 prophecies concerning Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Not only was it foretold where he would be born and his lineage, but also how he would die and that he would rise again. There simply is no logical way to explain the fulfilled prophecies in the Bible other than by divine origin.
Interesting. Never heard that before. I'm sure Janet will be interested too. About that same time, I started up a disco nightclub as an investment. What I didn't realize was that a nightclub would attract some rather unsavory characters.
Name's Russo, Mr. Graziano. I've been watching this place lately. Good business you got here.
Thanks, Mr. Russo. The disco's all the craze right now. Might even expand the place.
Yeah, along that line, I got an offer for you that you can't refuse.
What do you mean?
I represent a family that can protect operations like this.
There hasn't been any trouble around here.
Maybe not. But there's some bad blood moving about Brooklyn. We can put a lid on it. You're just the type of fella that can go a long way to keeping things safe here.
What type is that?
Well, you got a clean sheet with the cops, run a respectable business that needs an influx of cash. Plus, a big plus is your ancestry. Goes back to the old country, Sicily. We're a good family to be associated with.
You know, just the other day, some guy said the same thing to me. I believe his name was Mancuso.
One of them Mancuso boys was here. Partner up with them bums and it'll bring you no good. Think seriously about my offer. Remember, at stake here is the safety of the club and your family.
Here's your lemonade. No hard stuff at home.
Right.
So you had another offer today?
Yeah. The conversation was a lot like the one with that other family.
Is it good? I mean, almost sounds like a bidding war.
Could be. Seriously, though, it's more likely the start of a turf war. Both families want the club and me. The guy today was threatening.
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah, if I don't handle it right.
What are you going to do?
Negotiate, like I do everything else, I guess. But I haven't the foggiest idea how at this point. I wasn't a believer, but God must have been protecting me. Because the way I went about settling the territorial dispute between those mafia groups satisfied both of them and increased my respect and favor within both circles and probably saved my life. Now I had it all. Great income, important job on Wall Street, popular nightclub, martial arts, and now the mafia. What more did I need? Then someone asked me a simple question that would shake my foundation.
We'll learn what that question was in just a moment. Here's the president of Pacific Garden Mission, Phil Kwiatkowski.
Thanks, Timothy. Those of us who work here at Pacific Garden Mission, one of the highlights of our day is when friends stop by for a visit. So, if you're planning on being in Chicago in the near future, we invite you to visit with us. Any time is good, but the best time to visit is Saturday. That's because on Saturday afternoons we record Unshackled. You can be a part of the studio audience during the recording session. You'll experience the script, actors, music, and sound coming together to form another testimony of God's power in someone's life. Then, in addition to a tour, you're invited to join us in the dining room for our evening meal. And following that, sit in on the Saturday evening praise and testimony service. You can just show up, or if you're coming with a group, let us know so we can make preparations and have someone ready to meet you. For more information on visiting Pacific Garden Mission, or if you'd like to help support our ministries, contact us at 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
The conversation Janet and I had with Kenny had been simmering in the back of my mind, and I could see the changes in Janet and knew she was praying for me every day. So, when a neighbor invited our oldest son, Dennis, to an activity at Brooklyn's Bay Ridge Baptist Church, we let him attend. A while after that, the church pastor, Jerry Walker, paid us a friendly visit.
Hey, thanks for the lemonade. I noticed your son Dennis is quite the karate competitor.
Not many people would notice that.
Oh, well, I have a black belt myself. I recognize talent.
I knew there was something about you I liked. I'm a black belt, too, and an instructor.
Wow.
Who would have believed it? A black belt preacher. That may be someone worth listening to.
Well, in that case, why don't you and your family come join us this Sunday?
We went to his church the next Sunday and began attending regularly. Now, in addition to power, wealth, and success, I was religious. I had it made. I thought. Until November 19th, 1979, when Pastor Walker visited us again. This was more than a social call. We talked for a bit. Then he asked me a question that would change my life forever.
You seem satisfied with life, Robert.
I am. Great job, good future, nice bank account. I'm set.
Well, in Luke 12, Jesus tells a parable about a rich man. Here. Now I'm paraphrasing here, but the man basically says to himself, I've stored up a lot of good things for years to come. I should take life easy, eat, drink, and enjoy myself. But God says to him, you fool, I will demand your life from you tonight. Now who will get what you've accumulated?
That's sobering.
Well, so let me ask you a very important question.
Shoot.
Robert, if you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity?
You really get to the point, don't you?
Well, it's that important.
Well, I'd like to spend it in heaven.
Well, how are you going to get there?
Well, we attend church a lot these days, and I'm a good person, basically.
Yeah, but the Bible says we've all sinned. Isaiah 64:6. Here it is. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Good works, man, won't cut it. God sees them as filthy rags. Add to those rags a partial list of sins in Romans chapter 1, greed, depravity, envy, strife, deceit, malice, gossiping, arrogance, boastfulness, and on it goes. Guilty of any of those or of breaking any of the Ten Commandments?
Ouch. Almost killed a guy once, self-defense. But the others, I'm ashamed to say, guilty to many of them.
All right, so you've sinned and your good deeds are just rags. I mean, do you get paid for doing your job?
Of course.
And why?
Because I earn it. I'm good at what I do. I deserve it.
Right, right. But the same is true with sin. God said that because we've sinned, we deserve the wages for our sins. Now, how will you deal with that payment?
Well, I'm not sure.
Remember what happened to me?
Right. Well, I believe in Jesus and that he died for us.
What have I been telling you?
That's right. He died for my sins. I remember something about Jesus taking the penalty for sins.
He did, but it's not an automatic payment. There's more.
I believe there's only one God. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. Look at James 2:19 says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
Shouldn't the relatively good life I've led and the good stuff I've done outweigh the bad?
That's not the way, Robert. Good works isn't enough. Believing in God isn't enough.
She's right, you know.
This is beginning to sound rather complicated. You better explain this formula for my getting to heaven.
It's not complicated. It's just so simple, most people miss it. Now right here, Ephesians tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. So having our sins forgiven and avoiding their wages, thus qualifying us for heaven, is simply a gift. And Romans says, the gift of God is eternal life. Robert, if I offered you a gift, how would it become yours?
I guess I'd have to take it from you.
Exactly, exactly. Salvation is a gift you need to accept. The early part of the Gospel of John says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, it's not just believing, Robert. You must take the action step of receiving Christ and accepting his payment for sin's penalty.
How do you do that?
Well, Janet, why don't you tell him?
I'm no theologian.
No. Just tell him what you did.
Well, okay. I remember getting on my knees and praying. I don't remember the exact words, but I said something like, God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me. I receive him as my Savior, and I'm asking you to forgive my sins. Did I make that too simple?
No, that's what it takes. A firm decision to receive Jesus, usually just a simple prayer, just like yours.
Are you saying all God wants is to hear me pray?
No. No, it's what's behind the prayer that's important. You decide to receive Jesus. Prayer is just telling God about it, and that helps solidify the decision in your heart and mind. That simple decision puts you into a whole new personal relationship with Christ.
That very night, by God's grace, through faith, I received the marvelous gift of eternal life. I then understood what was missing in life. I found that the really important thing is knowing God and having a personal relationship with Him. Until then, I had it all, knowledge, might, and wealth, but I almost missed what I needed most, the Lord Jesus Christ. After my salvation, I began to study the Bible and to seek God's will for my life. Part of His will was for me to start a Bible study. My good friend Kenny helped me out.
You know, Robert, I never would have believed you'd be starting a Bible study here on Wall Street.
Doesn't the Bible say God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform?
Actually, no, that's a quote from a hymn. But I understand what you're saying, and it is a biblical concept, but not a direct quote. Now, let me see that flyer you're going to hand out.
Sure.
Nice graphics. Have you ever wondered about heaven or hell and what will determine where you spend eternity? Join us at 5 p.m. Wednesday for a study of what God's Word says about this topic. No mention of the speaker.
Thought I'd surprise them.
Well, it sure will be a surprise when they realize that you're the one talking about the Bible. They all know what your life used to be like. Good surprise.
Pass the potatoes, please. So, how'd your first Bible study go?
Lots better than I expected.
How so?
I guess I just didn't expect much. There were several believers there, like Kenny, who just wanted to support my efforts, a few people just curious about what was going on, and several who were definitely interested in the subject. Most all were surprised when they learned I was the speaker. I told them how God's grace saved me and what He could do for them.
Any questions?
Several. It was amazing. I said things that I don't even remember studying. God just gave me the words for the right answer. Once or twice Kenny or one of the other Christians added something, but mostly I just answered the best I could with God's help. Later, Kenny said my answers were right on.
Thank the Lord. I knew He'd help you.
Yeah. But the most amazing thing was that a couple of people decided to receive Christ right there. And one or two others said they wanted to learn more. I'm really looking forward to next week. The next week, more people showed up. And over the next 6 years, many of my co-workers found a new life in Christ through those Bible studies. And I give all the glory to God for any success. It wasn't me. When I realized my nightclub wasn't honoring the God, I closed it. And with it, my mafia connections. Instead, got myself involved in church activities. 6 years after I started the Bible study, we moved to Charleston, South Carolina, where I became president of three corporations and had the opportunity to get involved in Victory Baptist Church. I taught Sunday school, sang in the choir, and eventually became a deacon. Then I took the pastor out for coffee one afternoon.
I like this little place. Come here once in a while myself. Now, what'd you want to discuss?
Okay. Not a lot's happening with the kids in our church. I'd like to help out. I know someone's trying to get a Bible study going, but nobody's shown up. And it's discouraging to the leader.
What'd you have in mind?
You remember when God called Moses? Moses didn't have any talents except sheep herding. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. So God told Moses to use the rod to help him deliver God's message.
And you want to use the rod God gave you? How? Are you going to start a business with kids?
Not a bad idea with certain adults, but I don't think it'd go over with high school kids, no. I've been praying about this, and I'd like to start a program I call Karate for Christ.
Well, how'd it work?
As you know, I'm a black belt karate instructor. I'd like to offer kids and adults free karate instruction. In exchange for my time teaching them, I'd ask that they spend the same amount of time in church or Sunday school.
Yeah, anyone come?
Karate's popular, especially with the karate kid craze these days. And free lessons could be a drawing point.
I like the idea. I say give it a try.
Five people showed up the first week, then 10, then 20, and God was blessing what was in my hand. I always shared a testimony of how God saved me and why I wanted to make a difference in their lives. In 1993, God called me out of the business world and into a ministry career. After earning a Bachelor of Arts in Ministry, I joined the pastoral staff of Calvary Baptist Church in Simpsonville, South Carolina, where I'm the pastor of adult discipleship. I say all this only to give God the glory and to let you know that I care for your soul. God worked a miracle in my life. He took me from the streets of Brooklyn and the floors of Wall Street to heavenly paths of gold. He changed this sinner, and he wants to do the same for you. If you're not sure where you would spend eternity, please make that decision today. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation."
We invite you to make the decision to receive Christ today. And why not do so right now? Making that decision firm in your mind by praying this prayer with me. Father, I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. You offer me the free gift of forgiveness and eternal life, and right now I receive Jesus Christ as the Savior from my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. If you received Christ today, write and let us know so that we can provide you with some literature to help you get started on your new life with Christ. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. Write us today and let us know you're listening, and tell others to listen as well. And while you're writing, let the manager of this station know that you appreciate hearing Unshackled. This is program number 3484, heard in the true story of Robert Graziano, where Stephen Spencer, Marcy Mancotti, Gary Brichetto, Dave Kappas, and David Brian Stewart. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Recording engineer, David Pierczynski. Sound engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script by Timothy R. Wise. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.